Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's show, we report on Japan's space program and unusual farmers in Mexico. Ana Mateo presents the Health and Lifestyle Report, and finally, the Lesson of the Day. But first,
an experimental satellite made out of wood has been launched into space. Japanese developers of the device say it is the first time a wooden satellite has ever been sent to space. The small satellite, called LignoSat, launched aboard an uncrewed Cargo Dragon spacecraft to the International Space Station, ISS. The satellite will later be released into orbit about 400 kilometers above Earth. The satellite was built in the form of a box, with each side measuring about 10 centimeters. It was developed jointly by researchers at Kyoto University and Japanese home builder Sumitomo Forestry. A spokeswoman for Sumitomo Forestry told the French news agency AFP that the launch of the satellite was successful. She said the plan calls for the device to be released into orbit in about a month, when its strength and effectiveness will be tested. While made mostly of wood, LignoSat contains electronic elements that will control its movements and collect data on its operation. Once deployed, the satellite is expected to remain in orbit for about 6 months. The main goal of the experimental satellite is to see whether wood material can be used to build additional satellites or other space equipment. Wood is considered more environmental friendly. This is because it can just burn up when re-entering Earth's atmosphere. Satellites and other materials made of metal can release polluting particles into the air and oceans upon re-entry. International officials have already identified space junk as a growing problem. This includes things like dead satellites, lost pieces of equipment, or small pieces of paint. Such objects can present threats to spacecraft and satellites operating in space. Takao Doi is an astronaut who has flown on past space missions and studies human space activities at Kyoto University. He told Reuters he thinks wood can greatly improve future stays for long-term space travelers. With timber, a material we can produce by ourselves, we will be able to build houses, live, and work in space forever, Doi said. He added that the experiment is designed to demonstrate the abilities of wood to serve as a suitable material for developing future space equipment. Early 1900s airplanes were made of wood, said Kyoto University Forest Science Professor Koji Murata. A wooden satellite should be feasible too. Murata noted that wood can last longer in space than on Earth because water or oxygen cannot burn or destroy it. Doi said it is possible metal satellites could be banned in the future. If we can prove our first wooden satellite works, we want to pitch it to Elon Musk's SpaceX. The team said a 10-month experiment aboard the ISS found that hinoki, a native tree in Japan and traditionally used to make sword covers, is well-suited for spacecraft. Lignosat is made of hinoki as part of a traditional Japanese crafting method that does not use screws or glue. Kenji Kariya is a leader at Sumitomo Forestry Tsukuba Research Institute. He told Reuters the wooden satellite will also test the ability of the material to reduce the effects of space radiation on semiconductors. It may seem outdated, but wood is actually cutting-edge technology as civilization heads to the moon and Mars. Kariya noted that expanding into space technologies could support the timber industry. I'm Brian Lynn.
Several large lakes once surrounded Mexico City. Those lakes have disappeared over the years. But what is left of one of them is still important to local people who grow food. Cassandra Garduño works in her family's chinampa. In Mexico, a chinampa is an island that was built up by the native Aztec people with fertile mud from the bottom of lakes that surrounded their capital. One of the areas is called Xochimilco. The islands there are held together by a kind of willow tree planted around their edges. Narrow waterways connect them. Xochimilco has more than 1,000 hectares of protected land owned by generations of local chinamperos, as those who farm on the islands are known. Food grown on these islands has fed people for hundreds of years. But the chinampas are under threat from modern ways of life. Growing food on the chinampas does not make much money. Many families are giving up the old ways to rent out or sell their land. They have found it easier and more profitable to use the land for soccer fields and tourism. People don't want to farm anymore, and people don't want to buy the products, said Garduño. Some of those who stay, like Garduño, are working together to save and support the traditional use of the chinampas. Garduño remembers seeing her grandparents' chinampas as a child. Even then, she saw how the chinampas were suffering under pressure from modern life. Some farmers had already given up. Garduño bought land for her own chinampa in 2020. She grows several crops, including sunflowers, eggplant, and the Mexican marigold. She is a member of the growing collective called Chinampa Refuge. The National Autonomous University of Mexico started the collective. With other farmers in the group, she has asked other chinamperos to preserve their land. They follow old ways of growing. But they are also trying new commercial methods to compete with low-cost goods grown on big farms in Mexico. Their products include a special tag, Etiqueta Chinampera, that tells buyers the produce came from a chinampa. The tag also might bring attention to the area's water quality or the chinampa's status as a biodiversity refuge. 63-year-old Juan Avalos and his brother Salvador Gonzalez Avalos, who is 55, have been working on chinampas all their lives. Salvador said they want to pass their farming methods on to their grandchildren. That's something we need to work on as grandparents, he said, that they integrate themselves with a taste for this earth. I'm Jill Robbins.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. As fall and winter come to some parts of the world, daylight hours grow shorter. This lack of light can cause seasonal depression. It is a feeling of panic, fear, anxiety, and dread all in one, said Germaine Pataki. The 63-year-old woman living in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada, is among the millions of people estimated to have seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. To deal with her condition, Pataki uses yoga, walking, and an antidepressant medication. She is also part of a Facebook group for people with SAD and helps others deal with the condition. Pataki said, "This gives me purpose." People with SAD usually have depression that begins in the fall and eases in the spring or summer. Changing the clocks back to standard time, which happens in autumn in the United States, can also cause SAD to start. Medical experts say there is a milder form called subsyndromal SAD. There is also summer seasonal depression, but less is known about that. In 1984, a team led by Dr. Norman Rosenthal, then a researcher at the National Institutes of Health, first described SAD. He invented the term.
Scientists are still learning the causes of seasonal affective disorder. They have found that specialized cells in our eyes turn the blue wavelength of the light into neural or brain signals. These signals affect mood and wakefulness or alertness. Sunlight has a lot of blue light. So, when the cells sense this blue light, the alertness centers of our brains turn on. We feel more alert and possibly even happier. Catherine Rockline is a researcher at the University of Pittsburgh. She tested people with and without SAD to see how their eyes reacted to blue light. As a group, people with SAD were less sensitive to blue light than others, especially during winter months. That suggests a cause for wintertime depression. In the winter, when the light levels drop, that, combined with a lower sensitivity, might be too low for healthy functioning, leading to depression, Rockline said. Miriam Cherry is 50 years old and lives in New York State. She spent the summer planning how she would deal with her winter depression. "It's like clockwork," Cherry said. "The sunlight is low. The day ends at 4:45, and suddenly my mood is horrible."
Many people with SAD respond to light therapy, said Dr. Paul Dezan of Yale University's Winter Depression Research Clinic. The therapy devices give off light about 20 times brighter than regular indoor light. "The first thing is to try light," Dezan said. When we get patients on exposure to bright light for a half an hour or so every morning, the majority of patients get dramatically better. We don't even need medications. There is research that supports the idea that using a light that has a brightness of about 10,000 lux can be helpful. Lux is a measurement of brightness. The research suggests that a person use it for 30 minutes every morning. Dezan said this can help not only people with SAD, but also those with less severe, low moods in winter.
Experts suggest other forms of treatment. Doctors often suggest antidepressant medications as a first-line treatment for SAD. They also suggest going to bed and waking up at about the same time each day. Also, exercise such as walking outside, even on cloudy days, can help. Kelly Rowan is a researcher at the University of Vermont. Rowan said another treatment is talk therapy. Also called cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, Rowan said it has been shown in studies to have more long-lasting effects. CBT involves working with a therapist to identify and change unhelpful thoughts. A very common thought that people have is, "I hate winter," Rowan said. She suggests that people instead say, "I prefer summer to winter." Working with a therapist can help people take small steps toward having fun again, Rowan said. Try planning undemanding but enjoyable activities to break out of a bad mood. Rowan said simply meeting a friend for coffee can help.
People with SAD have half the year to create helpful methods. Some have found things that work for them, although they might not be the subject of scientific research. For example, in Folsom, California, Elizabeth Westcott says she believes a kind of water therapy helps her. The 69-year-old uses water therapy used in sports medicine. When she showers, she changes between hot and cold water. She also uses a light box and takes an antidepressant. "I'm always looking for new tools," Westcott said. In New York, Miriam Cherry grows the earliest blooming flowers. They bloom as early as February. "That's going to be a sign to me that this isn't going to last forever," Cherry said. "It will get better, and spring is on the way." And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
You are listening to the VOA Learning English podcast. On today's Health and Lifestyle Report, Ana Mateo told about seasonal affective disorder. We have Ana here to tell us more about the report. Welcome, Ana.
Hi, and thanks for having me on your show.
Ana, your report said light could play a big part in the way we feel. Is that true?
That's right. Scientists have found that certain cells in our eyes turn the blue wavelength of the light into signals for the brain. These signals affect our mood and wakefulness, or alertness. Sunlight has a lot of blue light, so when the cells sense this blue light, our brains wake up. We feel more alert and possibly even happier.
That's all the time we have. Let's talk again soon, Ana.
Thanks for having me.
My name is Anna Mateo.
My name is Jill Robbins.
And my name is Andrew Smith.
You're listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast. Today we begin level 2 of Let's Learn English. In this lesson, Anna is working as a journalist. She learns many things about her new home, Washington, D.C. In the videos, the Professor Bot character explains the grammar of each lesson.
That is a funny little character, Professor Bot. Can you tell me about why he is in this series, Jill?
Yeah, we wanted to have more detailed explanations of the grammar in the main videos in this level. In level 1, as you know, we had 3 videos, one with the story, one for teaching the vocabulary and new grammar points, and a third for pronunciation. In level 2, we decided to make just one video, so Professor Bot appears in the breaks in the video to explain grammar.
In lesson 1 of this level 2, we hear about Anna's work life. So there are a lot of words related to working and occupations. Let's listen to the first part. Listeners, see what work words you can pick out.
Oh, important meeting. Everyone must come. Well, back to work, and my boss has called a meeting. I wonder what it's about. Maybe we're all getting raises. Oh, there's Jonathan. Maybe he knows. So, Jonathan, what do you think today's meeting is about? The email sounded important.
Well, I have heard people in the building talking about budget cuts.
Oh, budget cuts? Wait, who has been talking about budget cuts?
Mark in accounting.
Mark in accounting? That's one person. That's not people.
I know, but Mark knows everything that goes on at the studio.
That is true. But wait, look at us. We shouldn't gossip. That's how rumors start. We'll just go to the meeting and see what happens.
Yeah, you're right. No more talk about budget cuts.
If you were listening carefully, you would have heard one important word. Meeting.
Yes, business people love those meetings. It's helpful to think about which verb we use with it. Call. We heard.
And my boss has called a meeting.
Right. We say we call a meeting. We've used the word boss before. In Anna's case, her boss or employer is Ms. Weaver.
Anna uses another work word when she guesses the meeting is to tell everyone they are getting raises. A raise is an increase in what you are paid, or your salary.
That's something we all like. Another phrase you hear is budget cuts. That is what happens when a business needs to spend less money than they usually do.
But remember, that was a rumor about budget cuts. A rumor is some piece of information people talk about without really having the facts.
Yeah, another word for rumor is gossip. That is often when people tell others unkind things about another person. It's not a good idea to spread rumors or to gossip or talk about things you are not sure about.
I agree. But let's find out what happens when the rumor spreads in the next part. Keep listening for those work-related words. You'll hear some names of jobs in this part.
Budget cuts? Oh, no. I just heard Anna and Jonathan talking about budget cuts.
That must be what the meeting is about. When there are budget cuts, people lose their jobs.
Not you. You're a good reporter.
And it's not you. You've done such a great job as a videographer.
I can't go back to being a detective. Criminals scare me.
And I can't go back to being a teacher. High school kids scare me. Penelope, have you heard the news? Today's meeting is about budget cuts.
That's awful. What should I do?
Update your resume. I've already updated mine. I'll see you at the meeting.
Let's see. The job names I heard were reporter, videographer, detective, and teacher. Did you hear any other work words, Andrew?
I heard Kaveh talk about updating a resume. That is a list of the skills you have and the jobs you have had. As you can hear in this first part, first two coworkers, Amelia and Kaveh, then another, Penelope, happen to overhear this gossip. They get worried about losing their jobs.
I think they are worried because they heard Kaveh guess about the subject of the meeting.
That must be what the meeting is about. When there are budget cuts, people lose their jobs.
To lose a job means to no longer have it. And another expression we'll hear is to get fired.
That is the danger of rumors. They can make people worry. As you may remember, Penelope is Anna's friend who has moved to Washington, D.C. I think we should find out what's really happening in this meeting. Don't you, Jill?
Yes. Let's see what Ms. Weaver has to say.
Hello, everyone. Quiet, please. Quiet, please. This meeting won't take long. Then you can all leave. What is wrong with everyone? You look like I'm going to fire you. Seriously, what is wrong with everyone?
Excuse me, Ms. Weaver?
Yes, Anna.
Well, everyone has been worrying about, you know, we've been worrying that you're going to fire us.
I'm not going to fire any of you. No. The reason for this meeting is to tell you what a good job you've been doing and give out new assignments. Budget cuts have been happening, but only one person has lost their job. Mark in accounting? Now, let's talk about those new assignments.
She just wanted to praise them for doing their jobs well. Except maybe poor Mark in accounting. He may lose his job or get fired because of the budget cuts.
Let's review some of the jobs we heard about in this lesson. A reporter is someone who finds and writes about the news. Amelia tells Kaveh,
"You're a good reporter."
And we learn that Amelia is a videographer. That's someone who records and edits videos.
And it's not you. You've done such a great job as a videographer.
But she talks about a past job as a detective, a person who tries to find out about crimes. Usually this is a police officer.
I can't go back to being a detective. Criminals scare me.
And Kaveh used to work as a teacher. You all know about that job.
And I can't go back to being a teacher. High school kids scare me.
Now we have some work questions for you. What job do you have now or want to have if you are not working yet? Do you enjoy your job? Why or why not? You can email us at learningenglish@voanews.com or put your comments on our YouTube video for this podcast.
And it'll be great if you share the lesson of the day with your friends and family. Remember that you can also find us on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks for listening. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our show for today. But join us again tomorrow to keep learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm